one of the clearest lies that we ever heard, because it's clear that if someone rejected the institution of jihad, which some of the scholars have made to be the sixth pillar of al-Islam, then that would necessitate that the person goes outside of the circle of al-Islam. But we're just saying what we understand from the book and what we understand from the history and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that there is no jihad for a group of people who they themselves do not make jihad on their own selves. And there is no jihad for a group of people who do not want to follow and practice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran and in the sunnah. I have never seen an ayat of the Quran or a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that supports or suggests that one of us can take a bomb and put it in the Brixton tube station, blow up the station, kill Muslims, non-Muslims, old people, children, women, and they say this is jihad against kufr. I've never seen anything that supports that. So this is why we brought the people of knowledge to come to discuss these types of issues. So the point that we want to make now, Ikhwan, is that we are not going to tolerate. When the question and the answer time comes, we are not going to tolerate those things that took place in the past with the Sheikh in Luton. This is not Luton here today. This is Brixton. And we do not want this thing to get out of hand. So we are pleading with the brothers. And we're not threatening anyone. We are pleading with the brothers for us to be brothers in al-Islam and to observe the proper adab. And respecting the one of knowledge and respecting the ghaif or the guest. And we want the people to bear witness that we extend our hearts and we open our arms for any question. We don't care. You ask what you want. But we are not going to tolerate those things that happened in the past. And the people know what I'm talking about. So let this be a clear indication that if you are not going to be able to control your emotions, then now is the time for you to get up and to leave. Or now is the time for you to stay downstairs. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us, inshallah, and to make it easy for you as well, and may he write for all of us the tawfiq.
JazakAllah khairan. Without any further ado, we'll continue with our program with these topics given by Sheikh Ali Hassan and Sheikh Salim al-Hilali on the jihad and the minhaj of the Prophet, including the explanation of Surah Al-Ma'id of verse 44, whoever doesn't judge by what others rules, then they are the kafirin. The Fadl Sheikh.
Take this back some for me, please. Just a little bit, yeah. Okay.
Inna alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah. Wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، إن أول ما سأقوله في هذا المجلس المبارك إن شاء الله هو أن باب الجهاد باب فقهي مطروق عند علماء الإسلام في مؤلفاته، فليس فيه من جديد، وليس فيه أحكام جديدة تخالف الأحكام التي ألفها أو كتبها علماؤنا رحمهم الله في مصنفاتهم الفقهية. وعليه فإن كلامنا ها هنا لن يكون فيه مزيد قول على ما يفتي به علماؤنا الربانيون وأئمتنا العارفون، بحيث لا يتصورن متصور اننا في طرحنا لهذا الموضوع نريد ان نخالف علماءنا او ان نستعلي على ما كتبوه وافتوا به، فهذا ليس هو سبيل الحق، بل ان سبيل الحق هو الا يكون خروج عن تآليف اهل العلم وفتاويهم قدماء ومحدثين سابقين ومعاصرين، واننا لن نستغل وجودنا في هذه البلاد المسماة بلاد الحرية والديمقراطية لنخالف شرع الله بحجة موافقة شرع الله، لنخالف كلام أئمة العلم والدين ونتنكب طريقهم ونغير سلوكهم استغلالا لوجودنا ها هنا، فإن هذا من الجبن ومن الضعف ومن الخور بمكان بعيد، ولكننا ثابتون بحمد الله تعالى على ما عليه السابقون من أهل العلم وعلى ما عليه اللاحقون منهم، لا نغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة مما أقاموا عليه دلائل الشرع، وإننا لنعلم أن ذلك أو أن هذا الأمر قد يكون سببا يجعل المتقولين بغير حق يطعنون ويتكلمون ويخوضون، فليخوضوا كيفما شاءوا وليتكلموا كيفما شاءوا وليطعنوا كيفما شاءوا، فإن الأمر دين وليس ثمة إلا جنة ونار، فليتق الله هؤلاء وليعلموا أن أيامهم هذه التي يريدون من خلالها تجميع الأمطار حولهم وتجميع الأتباع معهم لن تفيدهم ولن تنفعهم ما لم يكونوا في إطار الشرع الحنيف وما لم يكونوا في ظل دائرة علماء السنة وأهل السنة، والله الموفق.
The Sheikh Ali Hassan Al-Halabi went on to begin by rehearsing and reading unto us Khutbat Al-Hajjah that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to open up his sermons and his speeches with. And after completing Khutbat Al-Hajjah, he said, the very first thing that I am going to say to you people in this blessed majlis, inshaAllah, is that the issue of Al-Jihad, this topic of Al-Jihad, he went on to say, it is a topic in which the scholars of Al-Islam in the past, they have written about it and they have placed it in their books of fiqh. It is a topic that has been discussed and it is in the books of the scholars of the past. And here today, I am not going to come, or we are not going to come, with any new rulings that were not mentioned in those books, nor are we going to come with any new rulings that go against what the scholars of the past have written and preserved for us in their books of fiqh. He said, our speech today is not going to be any addition to what those ulama of the past used to give their Islamic verdicts or their fatwas concerning. We saw that those ulama who are rabbaniyun, those ulama who are well known or ma'rufun, they are the ones who we follow and who we're going to imitate in our statement. I say this so that the one who is against us or the one who doesn't look at the affairs as we look at it, so that he doesn't think, or any of you do not think, that we're going to try to intentionally come with some new rules and regulations. or that we're going to try to place ourselves above those ulama or make this isti'la. We're going to make ourselves appear to you like we are better and more knowledgeable than them. He said, for verily this action is not the sabil of the haq. This is not the way of the truth. He said, and the way of the haq is not going to be realized by the Muslim except by being upon what those scholars have presented and preserved for us, and taking the examples and the statements and the ta'lis or the books that those scholars have written, and also by taking and practicing and calling to the fatawa or the Islamic rulings and verdicts that those scholars made. And you need to also understand that we're not going to spend our time in this country. This country that they call the country of total freedom and the country of democracy. We're not going to spend our time here trying to go against the religion of Allah. We're going to spend our time trying to establish the religion of Allah, and not spend our time trying to go against the religion of Allah while saying we're actually trying to establish the religion of Allah. He said, but what we're going to do is we're going to spend our time teaching what the scholars of Al-Islam have said in the past, and also trying to educate the people based upon that. Because anything other than that, it will be weakness in us. And it also would be an indication that we are not people who are brave, or there is jubin. We are cowards. He went on to say that we, praise be to Allah, are firmly established upon understanding that the only way of success is what those scholars of the past have put forth and what the scholars of today have put forth. And we're not going to leave any small thing nor any big thing of what they left for us, except that we're going to try to explain it to you. And I say this so that there will not be some people, because we know that there are going to be those people who are going to make claims, and they're going to say about us that which isn't true, and they're going to begin to criticize us for our stance. But I just want them to know, and I want you to understand, that those people, they must have forgotten that the affair is the religion. Al-amr huwa ad-din. The affair is the religion. And there's nothing after this except the paradise and the hellfire. Meaning what? Meaning everyone is going to be held accountable for his actions and his statements. The Sheikh went on to say that these people, they may want us to spend these days as they spend these days. How do they spend these days? These are the days where the people are only concerned and they're busying themselves with trying to get around them Ansar or supporters by hook or crook. And there's no benefit in their actions, and they do so on other than light from the Book of Allah and from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ba'd. La shakka anna al-jihad kalima laha dalalatuha al-shar'iyya, wal-muradu biha جهاد أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى الذين يبغونها عوجا ويقفون في وجه دين الله تبارك وتعالى يناصبونه العداء ويريدون تحجيمه ورده القهقرة. وقد شرع الله تبارك وتعالى الجهاد كما هو ثابت من سيرة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فأذن الله تبارك وتعالى للمستضعفين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم أن يقولوا ربنا الله تبارك وتعالى أذن لهم بالجهاد في غزوة بدر وما سبقها من السرايا التي بعثها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقد بين الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم منزلة الجهاد في الدين كما صح عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال لمعاذ: ألا أخبرك برأس الأمر وعموده وضروة سنامه؟ قال: بلى. قال: رأس الأمر الإسلام، وعموده الصلاة، وذروة سنامه الجهاد في سبيل الله. فلا شك أن الجهاد له المنزلة العظيمة والمرتبة الرفيعة في دين الله تبارك وتعالى. ولكن صحابة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهم يدركون هذه المنزلة العظيمة الرفيعة التي تبوأها الجهاد في سبيل الله، ويدركون ما ورد في فضله من آيات ومن أحاديث، وما ورد في فضل الشهداء عند الله تبارك وتعالى، وأنهم من الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين، وأنهم أحياء عند الله تبارك وتعالى، وضعوا الجهاد في سبيل الله موضعه الذي وضعه الله تبارك وتعالى. فقد صح عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه كما في صحيح مسلم وغيره، في صحيح ابن حبان وغيره، أنه عندما روى الحديث المتفق على صحته بني الإسلام على خمس وذكرها، فقال له رجل: ألا تغزو؟ فقال له ابن عمر: هكذا سمعت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وفي رواية ابن حبان قال: الجهاد حسن، ولكن هكذا حدثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. إذن الجهاد من الخطأ البليغ أن يعد من أركان الدين، وأن يقال أن أركان الدين منها الجهاد. أركان الدين هي خمسة كما بينها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بني الإسلام على خمس: شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله، وأن محمد رسول الله، وإقام الصلاة، وإيتاء الزكاة، وصوم رمضان، وحج البيت. ولكن الجهاد هو ذروة سنام هذا الدين ومنزلته عظيمة عند الله تبارك وتعالى. وحسبكم فضلا للجهاد والمجاهدين أن الذين يقتلون في سبيل الله تبارك وتعالى أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون، كما في قوله تعالى: ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. وأن الشهيد يتمنى أن يعود إلى هذه الدنيا ليقتل في سبيل الله ثم يحيى ثم يقتل لما يجد عند الله من الكرامة. وقد ألف العلماء السابقون الكتب في فضائل الجهاد وفي أحكام الجهاد، مثل ابن المبارك رحمة الله عليه وابن أبي عاصم في كتابه الجهاد وغيرهم من العلماء، ذكروا فيها فضل الجهاد والمجاهدين والذود عن حياض الدين. لكن هذا الجهاد هو منزلته التي بينها الله تبارك وتعالى أنه من الشعائر العظيمة لدين الله تبارك وتعالى، ولكنه لا يتعدى أن يكون كأركان الدين التي أسس عليها هذا الدين وبينها رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم.
أو الشيخ أبو أسامة سليم بن عيد الهلالي، he went on to say that there is no doubt whatsoever that the word jihad is a word that has a lot of religious implications and it has its dalala al-shar'iyya. He went on to say whenever we hear the word of jihad, the meaning of jihad, the religious meaning of jihad, is fighting or making the jihad against the enemies of Allah. those people who do not want the truth. They do what? يَبْغُونَهُ عِوَجًا. They don't want the truth. They want everything other than the truth. That which is not straight. They desire that which is crooked. That which is not from Allah. The Sheikh went on to say, they are the ones who stand in front of the religion. And they look at the religion with enmity and hatred. And they want to prevent the spread of Al-Islam and to cause Al-Islam to regress and to go backwards. That's the meaning of al-jihad in its religious sense. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly has legislated this jihad that we just mentioned. And when we look at the authentic seerah or history of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will find the legislation of al-jihad fi sabilillah being something that is supported clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam, he allowed the mustada'afin, those people who were weak and oppressed in the earth, those people who believed in Allah and they were not persecuted except because of that belief, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them permission and allowed them to protect themselves and to fight against those people who are trying to persecute and oppress them. When did he do that? He did that in the Battle of Badr and in the small parties that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to send out even before the Battle of Badr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has clearly come and instructed us and explained to us the manzila or the place and position of al-jihad in this religion in many, many ayat and many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the clearest ones is the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he said to Mu'adh, shall I not tell you what is the head of the affair and what is the pillar of the affair and what is the peak of the matter? Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, yes, tell us, tell me, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Ra'sul Amr, the head of the affair, is Al-Islam. And its pillar is Al-Salah. And the peak of the matter is Al-Jihad fi sabilillah. The Shaykh went on to say that this hadith shows us, along with the other texts, that the place of jihad is Azima and is very high, is great, and is exalted. But the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we find them being a people who, more than anyone else, they understood this exalted place of jihad. And they also understood the virtues of jihad. And they also understood the virtues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the shuhada. And the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the shuhada. They knew all of those ayats, and they were the narrators of all of those ahadith that support the virtues of jihad and the rewards of the mujahideen. And from those rewards is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the shuhada, those people who yawmul qiyamah, they will be with the nabiyeen, with the prophets, and they will be with the siddiqeen, with the truthful ones, and they will be with the shuhada and the salihin, and they will be with the righteous ones. And Allah went on to say in this ayah, and what a respected, what an honorable fraternity they are. He said that those people, those companions, they knew all of this, but their understanding of jihad was the understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. And we can see this very clearly in the incident that happened with Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. They're making jihad today. There is no imam and there is no liar. He went on to say this type of jihad will never lead them to anything other than that which is evil and to facade.
They think that they're making jihad, but in fact they're not making any jihad. So the Sheikh said, we do not. Allah is the most merciful.
and we'll have mercy, because we do not say that whoever participates in this type of fight, and he five pillars that everyone knows. A man who was sitting in the presence of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after mentioning those five pillars, he said to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and jihad. The Shaykh went on to say that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said to the man, what I just said to you, that's what I heard Rasulullah saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the narration to Ibn Hibban, rahmatullahi alayhi, when the man said to him, what about jihad? Abdullah ibn Umar said, jihad is hasanun. Jihad is good. But what I just told you, that's what the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh mentioned that to say what? He mentioned that to explain to us how the companions understood jihad. That they understood it the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated it, and the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it to be understood. So based upon this statement of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, and based upon this authentic hadith, Islam has been built upon five pillars. The Shaykh said, it is wrong and incorrect when we find those scholars or those people who say that the sixth pillar of al-Islam is al-Jihad. This is a statement that the people make. He said, but we do not support it. It is a wrong statement to say that the sixth pillar of al-Islam is Jihad. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly said, al-Islam has been built upon five pillars. The Shahada, La ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And that Muhammad is his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And establishing the salah five times a day, and giving the zakat, and fasting in Ramadan, and making hajj to Mecca for the person who can do it. Sheikh went on to say, this is a clear indication that the pillars are five, and that's what we remain with. But jihad is great, and it's tremendous in its place. Because the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, said that it was the peak of the matter in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And it is enough for you brothers as well as you sisters, it is enough for us to know about the tremendous virtues of jihad simply from the fact that those people who have gotten killed, those people who were slaughtered, fi sabilillah, they are actually living and they are in the presence of Allah, and He is giving them. He's giving them their rizq. As Allah said in the Quran, do not think those people who were killed in the cause of Allah, do not think them to be dead, but instead they are living. They are with their Lord and He is providing for them. He is giving them their sustenance. This alone is a clear indication. Not to mention the fact that the mujahid who gets killed, fi sabilillah, he gets killed and then he will wish that he can come back to the earth in order to get killed again, then to come back to the earth in order to get killed again, then to come back to the earth because of the great rewards that Allah has bestowed for the shuhada. Those people who get killed making jihad fi sabilillah. Finally, the Shaykh said, for this reason we find that the scholars of al-Islam in the past, in showing the importance of al-jihad, they have written for us. Those scholars in the past, ikhwan, to show us the importance of al-jihad and to preserve for us this legacy and this knowledge, they have preserved for us books so that we can become people who are educated in jihad. Imams and scholars like Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak and the famous man Ibn Abi Asim, rahmatullahi alayhima, they have written books telling us about jihad and the levels of jihad and the position of jihad in al-Islam and what Allah has explained about jihad. And
what is the reward of the mujahideen? And they did not consider al-jihad as the sixth pillar of al-Islam. Fadhi ya shaykh.
هناك نقطة يجب أن ننبه عليها لكي لا يلتبس الأمر على الشباب والإخوة، وهي أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصف الجهاد بأنه ذروة سنام الإسلام، وذروة سنام الإسلام أي أعلى شيء. ذروة السنام، السنام هو سنام الجمل، وذروة أي أعلاه. فقد يقول قائل هذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصف الجهاد بأنه أعلى شيء في الإسلام، فيقول إذن هو أهم من الصلاة والصيام والزكاة والحج والتوحيد. ولكن ينبغي أن نفقه حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في ضوء سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الإسلام عندما وصفه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قسمه إلى ثلاثة أقسام: رأس الأمر الإسلام، عموده الصلاة، ذروة سنامه الجهاد في سبيل الله. أول ما بدأ الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم برأس الأمر، رأس الأمر الإسلام أي التوحيد. والتوحيد هو الذي يجعل الحياة تدب في الإنسان، تجعل الإنسان خلقا آخر يسير على منهج الله. فإذا فقد التوحيد من الإنسان أصبح ليس حيا وإن كان يمشي على أوجه الأرض. رأس الأمر، لا حياة للجسم إلا بالرأس، ولذلك إذا قطع الرأس لا فائدة في الجسد. فرأس الأمر الإسلام أي التوحيد، أهم شيء في هذا الجسد، أهم شيء في هذا الأمر هو التوحيد. والجهاد شرع لحماية التوحيد، كما قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: بعثت بين يدي الساعة بالسيف. هذا الحديث يفسر هذا الحديث ويزيل الإشكالات التي تعلق بالذهن: بعثت بين يدي الساعة بالسيف، هذا هو الجهاد. لماذا؟ حتى يعبد الله وحده. إذن ما شرع الجهاد إلا لحماية جناب التوحيد. ثم يفسر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم معنى ذروة سنام الإسلام كما أن السنام للجمل يغذيه ويمده بالطاقة، فكذلك الجهاد يغذي المسلمين ويمدهم بالطاقة، وهو سبيل من أسباب الرزق. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: وجعل رزقي تحت ظل رمحي. إذن فلا ينبغي أن نفهم الحديث فهما معكوسا منكوسا، بل نضعه في الموضع الذي بينه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، أن التوحيد هو مدار هذا الدين، وما بعث رسول وأنزل كتاب إلا ليقيم التوحيد لله في الأرض حتى يعبد الله وحده. وأرجو أن تكون قد تبانت الأمر على الأخر.
إخوان، it was really the other sheikh's turn to go, but the sheikh went on to explain this point because it is extremely important, and we want you to pay attention here. And he said that I have to explain a very, very important point here so that the brothers do not misunderstand. And that is, in that last hadith, the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described al-jihad as the peak of the matter. He said to the Mu'adh that the head of the affair was Islam, and that the pillar was a salat, and the peak of the affair was al-jihad. Sheikh went on to say, the dhurrat al-sinam, sinam, this peak of the matter is the highest, the meaning in Arabic of this word is the highest thing. It's like the camel, the back of the camel, that hump, they call that hump the dhurrat al-sinam. That's what it literally means in Arabic. So it's the highest part of the camel. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described his jihad, it's as if he's saying it is the highest part of this camel, of the religion. The Sheikh went on to say that what we need to understand here is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has explained to us by this hadith, is this hadith saying that al-jihad being the peak of the matter, is it more important than salah? Is the hadith saying that it's more important than fasting? Is the hadith saying that it's more important than zakat? Is the hadith saying that al-jihad is more important even than the tawheed of Islam? The Shaykh went on to say, we have to understand this hadith according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam broke it down and he made three divisions. The first part, he said, Ra'sul Amr, the head of the affair is Islam. And then he said, the pillar of the affair is Salah. And the third division is, and the peak of the matter is Jihad fi sabilillah. The Shaykh went on to say, when he said to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ra'sul Amr al-Islam, the head of the matter is al-Islam. Al-Islam here means al-Tawheed. The affair, the head of the affair is al-Islam, meaning al-Tawheed. He went on to say that it is this Tawheed, which means the oneness of Allah. And this Tawheed has been explained already in one of the tapes by the Shaykh Ahmed Salam. You can get that tape. He said that this Tawheed is the thing that makes the human being a creation that is beneficial when he benefits. He said, if this Tawheed is lost in the life of the human being, then there is no true life to that human being, even if he's walking on the face of the earth. And if he has no Tawheed, it is as if his head has been cut off. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the head of the affair is al-Islam or al-Tawheed. If the head is cut off, then there's no benefit concerning what is going to follow after that. So the head of the affair is al-Tawheed. And it is the most important thing. And for this Tawheed, which is the head of the affair, it is because of this that the jihad was legislated in the first place. And the proof of that is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, when he said, I was sent close to the hour. I was sent, Rasulullah is saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was sent close to the hour being established, and I was ordered to fight the people until Allah is worshipped alone, until the Tawheed of Allah is established. So this hadith shows us what? That because of the Tawheed, as jihad was legislated. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith explains to us the reason why he was sick. He went on to say, as for the third part of the hadith, that the peak of the matter is al-jihad, fi sabilillah. He said the meaning of that is, when you look at the camel, the hump on the camel, and this is the word that was used, ذُرْوَةُ السَّنَامِ, this is the word that was used to express the peak of the matter. When you look at the camel, and you look at the hump of the camel, it is that hump of the camel that gives him his power. It is the hump of the camel that gives him his energy. Where he stores, it is the storage for him, for his power and his energy. So likewise, this is the job of the jihad as it relates to al-Islam. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another authentic hadith, my sustenance, or my risk, my sustenance has been made, and I can find it where? I find my sustenance under the shade of my spear. Meaning, we're going to go out and we're going to fight the people. We're going to take from the people when they reject al-Islam. So the Shaykh went on to say, let us understand this point and let us not understand it in a way that is not supposed to be understood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent any Rasul, nor has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent any book except for them to establish a Tawheed.
وهذا الجهاد أيها الإخوة في الله الذي عرفنا مشروعيته وعرفنا من الدين منزلته ليس هو أمرا اعتباطيا وليس هو عملا عاطفيا وليس هو ردة فعل حماسية وإنما هو نظام منضبط وقواعد مرتبة وأصول منتظمة يكون من خلالها مقدمات ونتائج. أما المقدمات فهي قاعدة الإعداد التي خاطب الله سبحانه وتعالى بها عباده الصالحين آمرا إياهم بقوله: وأعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة ومن رباط الخير ترهبون به عدو الله وعدوكم. أقول أيها الإخوة إن هذه آية نقرأها كثيرا في كتاب الله ونسمعها كذلك كثيرا من أولئك الذين جعلوا دعوتهم وحصروا منهجهم في دعوة الجهاد أو في الدعوة إلى الجهاد وفي الكلام على الجهاد دون أن يكون منهم التربية الأساسية والتقعيدات الشرعية فضلا عن الأصول والضوابط التي يقوم عليها الجهاد، حتى صار الجهاد هو ركن الدين المتين، وهذا ليس من الحق في شيء. نحن لا نقول بأنه ليس للجهاد منزلة، بل إن للجهاد منزلة عظيمة، بل إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: من مات ولم يغزو ولم يحدث نفسه بالغزو مات على شعبة من النفاق. فهذا دليل على ما للجهاد من أهمية وعلى ما للغزو من مكانة، ولكن هذه الأهمية وهذه المكانة لا تعظم وتكبر حتى تفوق التوحيد أو تزيد على الصلاة والصيام والزكاة والحج وهكذا، إنما هذه كلها أعظم من الجهاد، لأنها أركان الإسلام وأصوله وأسسه. ولكننا نرى اليوم من الذين يحصرون ويقصرون دعوتهم وكلماتهم على الجهاد أنهم يهزؤون ممن يتكلمون في أركان الإسلام، وأنهم يطعنون في من يتكلمون بتعليم الناس توحيد الله، وأنهم يغمزون في من يتكلمون بالشرع الحنيف بناء على كتاب الله وسنة رسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام. فهؤلاء في حقيقة أمرهم قلبوا الأمر وعكسوه وجعلوا عاليه سافلا، ونحن نحسن الظن بكثير منهم قائلين إنهم يريدون خيرا ولكنهم كما قال ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه: وكم من مريد للخير لن يبلغه، لا يكون بلوغ الحق إلا بطريق الحق، ولا يكون الوصول إلى الهدف المرسوم في شريعة الإسلام إلا عن طريق شريعة الإسلام. لذلك لن يكون وصول إلى الجهاد إلا بالإعداد الشرعي المطلوب الذي أمر الله عز وجل به عباده لما قال: وأعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة. وفي هذه الآية الكريمة تنبيهان مهمان يغلط فيهما كثير من الناس. التنبيه الأول أن خطاب الله لعباده بقوله: وأعدوا، هل كان لحظة ضعفهم ووهائهم ووهنهم، أم كان لحظة إيمانهم وعزهم وقوتهم وقدرتهم على الوقوف أمام أعداء الإسلام؟ إن كان الأول فلا أحد يقول بهذا من أهل العلم، وإن كان الثاني فهو المطلوب المراد إثباته، بمعنى أن الجهاد في سبيل الله الذي هو بمعنى مقاتلة أعداء الله إنما يكون مطالبا به القادرون على الوقوف أمام أعداء الله والقادرون على مجابهة أعداء الله والمربون التربية الإسلامية الربانية الحقة التي يقيمون بها عقولهم وقلوبهم ونفوسهم وجوارحهم على شريعة الإسلام وليس العكس كذلك. ويدل على هذا المعنى قول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: إذا تبايعتم بالعينة ورضيتم بالزرع وتبعتم أذناب البقر وتركتم الجهاد في سبيل الله سلط الله عليكم ذلا لا ينزعه عنكم حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. العينة هي نوع من أنواع الربا، والرضا بالزرع، واتباع أذناب البقر هو الرضوخ للمال والتثاقل إلى الدنيا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ما لكم إذا قيل لكم انفروا في سبيل الله اثاقلتم إلى الأرض أرضيتم بالحياة الدنيا من الآخرة؟ ثم قال: وتركتم الجهاد في سبيل الله سلط الله عليكم ذلا. وأي ذل أعظم من هذا الذل الذي ضرب بصاعقته ديار المسلمين ونفوس المسلمين وقلوب المسلمين وعقول المسلمين؟ لكن كيف المخرج؟ لا ينزعه عنكم حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. إذن إن نزع الذل لا يكون إلا بالرجوع إلى الدين الذي من خلاله يعود للأمة جهادها في سبيل الله، وليس الأمر كما يتوهمه أو يوهمه هؤلاء القادة الذين يحركون الجهاد من وسط لندن قائلين لا عودة للإسلام إلى الجهاد. هم عكسوا القاعدة وعكسوا الأصل وقلبوا الصورة، فإن الجهاد لا يرجع للأمة إلا بالدين، ولا نقول إن الجهاد هو سبيل إرجاع الدين للأمة، وهذا ما أشارت إليه الآية القرآنية: وأعد لهم ما استطعتم. إنما خطب بها من كانت عندهم العقيدة العالية والنفوس الإيمانية الغالية والربانية الرفيعة في نفوسهم وفي عقولهم. هذا تنبيه أول في الآية. أما التنبيه الثاني وهو قوله في آخر الآية: ترهبون به عدو الله وعدوكم. إذن إن القوة المادية والمعنوية ورباط الخيل والسلاح ليس هو لسبيل المواجهة، وإنما هو فقط لإرهاب العدو وإخافته. وأما السبيل الذي تكون به المواجهة فهو الإيمان. وكم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله. إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم، ولا ينصرن الله من ينصره. هذه المعاني كلها غائبة، كلها منقلبة، كلها متعاكسة في أذهان أناس هم من جلدتنا ويتكلمون بألسنتنا ويتعالون ويتعاظمون علينا وعلى أئمتنا وعلمائنا، وهم يحسبون أنهم يصنعون صنعا، وكأنهم لم يتفكروا في كتاب الله، وكأنهم لم يتأملوا سنة رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام، فعاشوا في الأرض الفساد تحت اسم الجهاد، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. إن الإعداد الحقيقي هو إعداد النفوس المؤمنة المطمئنة التي تحمل سلاحا يكون وظيفته إرهاب العدو وإخافته، أما بغير ذلك فلن يكون جهاد. ولو أننا أردنا أن ننظر بمنظار أهل الدنيا وبمنظار المادة المحضة لقلنا بأنه لا يمكن للأمة الإسلامية مهما على شأنها ومهما كبر أمرها أن تواجه أعداء الله فضلا عن أن تنتصر عليهم، ولكننا لا ننظر هذه النظرة وإنما نظرتنا بحمد الله مبنية على أن العقيدة هي الأساس وأن النصر من عند الله. فإذا نظرتم في غزوة بدر الكبرى يوم الفرقان يوم التقى الجمعان، المسلمون هم القلة والأعداء هم الكثرة، كثرة في العدد وكثرة في العدد، ومع ذلك كان النصر حليف من؟ بينما يعكس الصورة يوم حنين المسلمون هم الكثرة والأعداء هم القلة، لكن لما حصل في النفوس خلل وفي الإيمان نقص كانت الهزيمة وكان نزول القرآن تبكيتا لهم يقرئهم قرآنا يتلى إلى يوم القيامة. إذن إن قاعدة الإعداد هي قاعدة العقيدة والمنهج والصراط والسبيل والسنة التي نركز عليها وندندن حولها ونكثر ذكرها، حتى أدى ذلك إلى أن يقول فينا هؤلاء العاطفيون والحماسيون الذين لا ينطلقون من هدى ولا من دليل، يتكلمون فينا وفي مشايخنا وعلمائنا بغير حق، ولو أنهم أنصفوا لعلموا أنهم هم المخالفون للحق المغايرون لأهل الحق.
The Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, that this jihad this jihad that we have come to mention and we have explained it and we have discussed with you its legislation, and we have already mentioned as well its place, and we have mentioned the reward of those who participate in it and those who get their lives taken as a result of it. We've mentioned all of that. We have explained to you that al-jihad is not an affair that is left out just like that, nor is it an action that is coming as a result of emotionalism, nor is it a response to another action. It is not a response to another action. But jihad, what it is, it is a nizam mundabit. It is a system that has its consistencies attached to it. It is also some qawaid or principles, and it also happens to be some usul as well. The Sheikh said, in order for the jihad to be done properly, in order for it to be understood properly, there has to be some muqaddimat and there has to be some nata'ij. The muqaddimat means what? There has to be some things, some items, some matters that have to be in place before you even begin thinking about jihad. In order for the jihad to be successful, these muqaddimat have to be there. They are the things that are in place before you even think about jihad. We're going to mention now, inshaAllah, two of those muqaddimat. The first thing that we want to mention is that in order for there to be the proper jihad, which is going to be successful, there has to be the necessary preparation and precaution. There has to be the i'dad, or the preparation for jihad. Or why else would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order us? Order the people who are the people of jihad. Why would He order us in the Quran when He said, and prepare for them, a'iddu wa a'iddu, and prepare for them everything that you can prepare from your power and your might. Prepare what you have from the horses. Prepare everything from your might, from your weaponry as well as from your horses, so that you can do what? So that you can strike fear in the heart of the enemies of Allah and the enemies of your own self. So this ayat here is clearly telling us and ordering us and informing us to be of the people who prepare. He went on to say that this ayat is an ayat that we read it in the Quran, and it's from the Quran, and we hear people reading it, especially those people who have made their dawah. The sum total of their dawah is al-jihad. We hear them reading this ayah. We hear that their minhaj is all about jihad. We hear that all of their kalam or all of their speech is only about jihad. We read this and we hear this ayah being read to us, but we see the people not reading it, nor do we hear it based upon its proper meaning. We do not find the people hearing it, reading it, practicing it with the proper tarbiyah that they need. We do not find people reading this ayat or hearing this ayat, those who call to it, we do not find the proper aqidah that these people are on. Not to mention, we don't hear them reading this ayat and they know about the asool or the principles of a jihad, nor do they know about the rules and regulations of this jihad. The jihad to these people, unfortunately, has become a pillar of their religion. And not only a pillar, but it is the pillar. But this is not the case. This is not true. This is not the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the jihad in. We do not say that al-jihad in the cause of Allah does not have an honorable and exalted position in the religion. We have already established that, yarhamakallah, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said in authentic hadith, whoever dies and he does not encourage himself to make jihad, whoever dies and he does not make jihad, and he doesn't even encourage himself to make jihad, he has died on one of the parts of hypocrisy. We do not say that jihad is not important and that its position is not exalted. When the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, whoever dies and he has not ever made jihad, nor does he talk and encourage himself to make jihad, if he dies in this state, he has died on a piece or a part of hypocrisy. This hadith, we cannot escape its meaning and its message. It is clearly establishing for us that the jihad has a tremendous manzila or place and a tremendous makan. But we do not at the same time say that the jihad is greater than the tawheed or the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not say that jihad is greater and more important and more significant than the salah and then fasting and giving the zakat and going to the hajj. We do not say that. We say that all of these things are important. And all of these things that I just mentioned, the salat and tawheed and all of these things, they are greater than jihad because they in themselves are from the arkan of al-Islam. Today we see, unfortunately, those people who always talk about us unjustly, those people who are the ones who just give speech and their dawah is a lot of talk, they accuse and criticize the people who say to the other ones, we have to learn about the religion. They accuse and they always criticize the people who say, let us teach the other people their deen. Let us teach the other people the legislation al-hanif that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down and which is built upon the Quran and the Sunnah. We find that these people, in reality, what they have done is that they have really taken the affair and they have taken the reality and they turned it upside down. They are the ones who are calling to what is false and what is batil, and the other people are calling to the truth. Now they have made the falsehood batil, and they have made the truth falsehood. They have made the falsehood truth and that which is true falsehood. They want good, but they have not been blessed to receive the good. And this is why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and this is the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and when we say this is the statement of the companion, it's not to take away from the position of the companion, it's just that no one misunderstands and thinks it's a hadith. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, how many people, their desire is to get the good, but they don't get it? How many people, their desire is to get the good, but they do not get the good? He went on to say that in order to have the bulugh of the haqq, in order for us to realize the truth, then the only way that that realization is going to come about, and the only way that realization is going to be manifested, is by taking the tariq of the haqq. You cannot arrive at the truth taking the wrong way. We have to go by the way of the sharia, or the way of the religion. We cannot be the people, as those people we are mentioning, they will never, ever, ever reach their goal based upon the type of jihad that they want to implement, based upon the type of jihad that they understand. The Sheikh said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayah, and prepare for them, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُ, prepare for them whatever you can prepare, from the power, your weapons, from the horses, so that you can strike fear into the heart of the enemies of Allah and your enemies. The Shaykh said that this hadith or this ayah, it has two points that we have to discuss here. Two points. The first point is that the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said to the believer, when he said to the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, he said, prepare everything that you are capable of preparing, from the horses and your weapons. When he made this statement and this order to them, did he send this statement down in order to them to do this when they were weak and oppressed and incapable and they were feeble? Did he send it down at that time? Or did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the ayah down and order them to make this preparation when they had the power of Iman and they had the izzah of al-Islam, the honor, the power, the izzah of al-Islam, and when they had the qudra or the ability, and when they had the quwwah? Did he order them to make preparation in the first or in the second example that I gave? He said, we don't know anyone who was in his right mind who would say that he sent his ayah down when their condition was like the first description, weak and oppressed and feeble and incapable. But everyone will be obliged to say that the ayat was sent down concerning the second one, where the description is the power of Iman and the izzah of Islam and the quwwah of the brotherhood. The Shaykh went on to say, what does this mean, brothers? This means that jihad has a proper way. It has a sabil, or a way that we have to go about trying to realize it, and we have to accomplish this jihad by this way. Those people who are mutalibun, or mutalabun, those people responsible to make jihad, they have to also be qadirun. They have to be capable. They have to be a people who are in a position to deal with the enemies of Allah, and to repel the enemies of Allah, and the efforts of the enemies of Allah. They have to have the proper tarbiyah. They have to have the tarbiyah that is sahiha, that is correct, wholesome. They have to have the correct understanding and the correct intellect. Their nafus, or their nafs, their very soul, what it desires, also has to be in tune with what Allah Ta'ala has revealed. And their limbs as well, their jawarih, also have to be what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering them in their limbs to do, and not the opposite of that, where the people have no tarbiyah and they have no education and they have the nafus that are other than that, and their arms and their legs and their limbs are working with other than what Allah has legislated. And we see this principle of what I'm saying coming straight to us, and we should put it between our two eyes.
Allah's Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in authentic hadith, if you people begin to make the commerce and you make the trade with the Ina, and the Ina is a type of riba, if you people start to make the Ina and you become preoccupied with cultivating your crop, and you start to grab the tails of the cows and cultivating your lands with the cows, and you leave off jihad fi sabilillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put upon you lowliness. Allah will put upon you this zul, which is lowliness. You have no ability. The Shaykh said, and he went on to explain, that this ina is riba, a type of trading that is not permissible. As for taking care of your crop, the cultivation of the crop, and taking the cow, he said this is talking about the man taking money, concerning yourselves with getting the money, and concerning yourselves with the dunya as opposed to the hereafter. Like Allah said in the Quran, all you who believe, what is wrong with you when you are invited to go forth fi sabilillah, you hold on to the earth? All you who believe, what is wrong with you when you are invited, when you are ordered to go out fi sabilillah to fight, you hold on to the earth? Have you put the dunya and its Allah has the for the akhirah is better than that. That if we
لجريمة فاجر وإنما نعمل ذلك بشيئين.
And we have to make our aql or our minds and our intellect, we have to make it in accordance to what Allah has revealed. And then in this same hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will put this lowliness on this community, on you people, and all you have to do is look at the state of the ummah. Look at the Muslims in their diyar, where they're living at. And look at the weakness that you find in the Muslim personality. And look at the minds and the understandings of the Muslims, where they find themselves and they look at themselves as being lesser than the non-Muslims. This is the lowliness. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah will not change your state until you come back to your religion, until you establish your religion. So the Shaykh went on to say that these people are telling us that the only way that al-Islam is going to be established is by us doing that other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. When we return back to the deen, as this ayat has put forth, this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the honor and the power. We are not like the people who have the nerve and the audacity to stand up in the middle of the streets in London and they call out with the and they scream out and call out with the highest pitch in their voice that they can muster, and they say there is no honor for al-Islam except for jihad. Jihad is the only way. We say to them, this is not the way. We say that's Allah. We say what Allah says. And that is, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And you people have to prepare what you can. You have to prepare what? You have to prepare yourself to have the proper aqidah. You have to prepare yourself to develop the nafus, and to place and to plant in your nafus al-iman, in your nafs. You have to have the proper tarbiyah. You have to have the proper intellect. You have to have the proper understanding of the deen. That's the first point that we get from the ayah. The second point that the Shaykh wanted to mention from this ayah, prepare what you can, is that the ayah went on to say, so that you can strike fear into the heart of Allah's enemy and your enemy. He said that this part of the ayah suggests to us, and it helps us to understand, that the monetary power and the physical power القوة المادية المعنوية, this power that you can grab like this from the weapons that you can feel. The Sheikh said that this ayah lets us know that horses and weapons and any other thing that you can use for jihad, they are part of the sabil, part of the way in which we make the people fear us. But they are not the thing or the issue that will give us victory over the non-Muslim. But what gives the Muslim victory over his enemy, those people who are against al-Islam and who try to extinguish the light of al-Islam by blowing it out with their tongue, the thing that gives us victory over them is our iman, our belief, our iman, our faith. Allah said in the Quran, how many times did a small band of people overcome and vanquish and destroy a large band of people by Allah's permission? It was not with the weaponry. How many times has a small band of people overcome and destroyed and vanquished a small band of people? And another ayat, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala tells us, if you people assist Allah, if you help Allah, Allah will help you and He would establish your feet firmly. And another ayat of the Quran, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, and verily Allah will help those people who help His religion. So the Shaykh went on to say, all of this ikhwan, all of this what I have just mentioned, of these people who are making these foolish statements that we're going to make jihad without preparation, that we're going to make jihad, and it's the jihad itself and the weapons itself that bring back the power and bring back to al-Islam its former place of supremacy in the world, these people are foolish. And they are from our skin, meaning they are like us. They are similar to us. They speak the tongue that they have the same tongue. They speak the same language. They are the ones who are trying to put themselves over us and trying to put themselves over our ulama and over our scholars. And they think that they're doing something, but in fact they are not doing anything except harming themselves and harming al-Islam. Do they not reflect? Do they not think? They are the ones who made fasad in the earth, all the while claiming that they're making jihad. This jihad that they're making is the cause and the reason of so much fitna, fasad. He went on to say, ikhwan, the true weapon that the Muslim has to have first is the weapon of at-tawheed, the weapon of knowing his religion. And then after that, we look at the other monetary things, those things which are tangible, that we can hold on to them and that we can use in order to establish this religion. He said, we do not look at those monetary things and place a lot of value upon them, because the ummah is not going to be protected except with the proper iman. He said, look at this. If we were to look at these kuffar and what they have and what they have manufactured, and we look at their weapons, if we were to look at them with the naked eye and put aside everything else, just look at their numbers and look at their capabilities, never would you think that we would be able to even face them or to make them a wajah. Never would we be able to face them, not to mention have victory over them. But we don't look with that type of eye. We don't look with the naked eye. We look at the issue with the eye of al-aqidah. And we look at the fact that Allah is the one who is most powerful, most capable. Don't you see what took place at Badr? When the two groups met, the kuffar far outweighed the Muslims in number. And the Muslims were the minority to those kuffar. But in spite of that, the victory was to who? The victory, obviously, as you all know, was to the Muslims. But then let us look further down into the books of history and into the annals of history. Let us look at the battle of Hunayn, the day of Hunayn.
when the Muslims had the majority and the kuffar, they were the minority. And when the two groups met, there was a problem in the nafus of the Muslims. They had in their hearts some khalal, which was they thought they were impressed with their numbers. They looked at their actual numbers and compared them to the numbers of the kuffar, and they were oppressed. And they didn't look at the issue with the eye of looking at the aqidah of the power of Allah. So what was the situation? When they looked at the issue with that type of look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the victory to the kuffar. So this ayat is remaining in the Qur'an, it's preserved in the Qur'an, and it's there to be read until Yawm al-Qiyamah for the people to take an understanding. For the people to take an understanding. Understanding of what? To understand that the true power and ability comes as a result of the aqidah. The true power and ability comes as a result of practicing the Qur'an. And the true power and ability comes from us applying and being upon the sunnah. The Sheikh went on to say, and it is not like these people. These people who talk, and it's only about their emotions. It is not a jihad. It is not an action that is atifiyun, that the people are emotional, or the people are hamasiyun, the people who are always agitated, moving based upon their agitation. He said that our shuyukh, who these people talk about, these people are oppressive. If they were only the people who had insaf and they were just, they would be of the people who would get benefit like the others.
ثم إن الجهاد في سبيل الله تبارك وتعالى الذي مضى الكلام عليه ينصب أكثر ما ينصب على جهاد الأعداء ومقاتلة أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى، ولكن الله تبارك وتعالى علم ضعف هذه الأمة فشرع لها أنواع الجهاد التي تستغرق عليها كل وقتها. فأنواع الجهاد كثيرة، قسمها العلماء إلى ثلاثة أنواع. النوع الأول جهاد النفس والهوى، وهذا يدخل في الإعداد والاستعداد والتربية، وهي القاعدة التي لا بد منها. ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه، والمجاهد من جاهد هواه في الله. فالمجاهد هو الذي يجاهد نفسه، يجاهد هواه، يصلحها، يربيها، يعلمها الطاعة لله ولرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لأن مبدأ الجهاد العام يقوم على مبدأ السمع والطاعة، فإذا هذه النفس لم تعود على السمع وعلى الطاعة وعلى الاستجابة لأوامر الله وأوامر رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الساعة، فكيف تستجيب لأوامر الذي يقودها لمقاتلة أعداء الله في ساحات القتال؟ إذن لابد من هذا الجهاد كتربية وإعداد واستعداد لما بعده من أنواع الجهاد. النوع الثاني هو جهاد الدعوة، وينقسم فيه المجاهدون إلى قسمين: هم أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى الكفار الأصليون، وأهل البدع والضلالات والأهواء. وقد أمرنا الله تبارك وتعالى ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بجهاد النوعين: جهاد الدعوة باللسان والبنان، وذكر ذلك في كتابه وفي سنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال تعالى: وجاهدهم به جهادا كبيرا، أي جاهدهم بالقرآن، جاهد الكفار وجاهد المنافقين به جهادا كبيرا. وكذلك أمرنا بمجاهدة أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى بالكلام واللسان وبيان انحرافهم وبيان ضلالهم وبيان زيغهم وبيان عوراتهم، كما كان رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم ينصب المنبر لحسان ابن ثابت رضي الله عنه ويحجو الكفار ويقول له تعلم أنسابهم من أبي بكر حتى تعرف عوراتهم وخللهم، ويقول حسان لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنسلنك من بينهم مثل الشعرة من العجين يا رسول الله، فيقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أيده بروح القدس، ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جاهدوا المشركين بأموالكم وألسنتكم. ثم يبين الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم جهاد أهل الأهواء وأهل البدع وأهل الضلالات وأنه من الجهاد في سبيل الله، يقول كما في حديث ابن مسعود في صحيح مسلم ما من نبي إلا كان له حواريون يهتدون بهديه ويستنون بسنته، ثم إنها تخلف من بعدهم خلوف يقولون ما لا يفعلون ويفعلون ما لا يؤمرون، فمن جاهدهم بيده فهو مؤمن، ومن جاهدهم بلسانه فهو مؤمن، ومن جاهدهم بقلبه فهو مؤمن، وليس وراء ذلك من الإيمان حبة خردل. ثم جهاد أعداء الله بالسيف والسنان، وهذا ذكره الله تبارك وتعالى بقوله إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة. ولذلك تروا أن الإسلام رتب هذه الأنواع ترتيبا يؤدي بعضه إلى بعض، فإن الذي لا يستطيع أن يجاهد هواه ونفسه لا يستطيع أن يغلب أعداءه ويقهرهم، ومن لا يستطيع أن يصبر في ساحات الدعوة إلى الله تبارك وتعالى لا يستطيع أن تثبت قدماه عندما ترى ظلال السيوف على رأسه، وكفى بظلال السيوف فتنة. نسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يثبتنا في جميع ساحات الجهاد.
آمين. أوى الشيخ أبو أسامة جزاه الله خيرا went on to say that this jihad that we've been discussing now, Ikhwan, and that all of this speech has gone by already concerning it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning this jihad, as we've been explaining, it's the jihad against the enemies of Islam. This is the jihad that we've been talking about, to kill, to slaughter, to demolish and annihilate the non-Muslims, the enemies of Islam. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knew and He knows that there's going to be some weakness in certain individuals of the Ummah. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? To show you the wisdom, Allah ta'ala, He legislated different types of jihad. Different types of jihad have been legislated in Islam. And the scholars of the religion, they have divided these types of jihad into three types. There are three types of jihad that the scholars of Islam have divided them into a division based upon the text from the Quran and based upon the text from the authentic sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. The first type of jihad is the jihad that the person makes against his nafs and his hawa. The jihad against the nafs, the desire. And inside of this jihad, and inclusive in this jihad, obviously is make a jihad and make the preparation for jihad by getting the right education. This is something that we need to understand. What's the proof of this? The proof of this is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam told us in an authentic hadith
The true muhajir, the one who makes the hijrah, or he makes the pilgrimage. What's hijrah? The one who makes the migration. The true muhajir, the real muhajir, is the one who migrates from that which Allah has made haram, what Allah has prohibited. And the true mujahid, the one who really fights in the cause of Allah, the real mujahid is the one who makes jihad against himself as it relates to the rights of Allah. So that's proof of what? That making jihad against yourself is a type of jihad. What the person does when he makes the jihad against himself is he rectifies his situation. And he also tries his best to give this nafs the proper tarbiyah. And he also tries his best to teach this nafs so as to raise from off of it the ignorant. He teaches them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated and what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam has brought and what he has explained. And we also need to understand concerning this point that the jihad in and of itself, it requires a person's ability to unconditionally submit to the text. He has to be a person who hears and he obeys. So if your nafs or the person's nafs is not in the position or is not on a level before even participating in any campaign against the kuffar, if the nafs is not in the position where it is when it's in this state, free and easy and tranquil, if it is not going to submit itself to the text now, then it is not conceivable, nor is it intelligent to think that when it came time to engage the enemy and the real fighting began, it is not conceivable that that nafs is going to be ready to do the job at that time. The second type of jihad is the jihad of a da'wah. The jihad of making da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who are the mujahideen in this particular thing, the people who are giving jihad and the ones who we make jihad against concerning the da'wah are two types. The da'wah is to be given to two types of people. The mujahideen who are giving da'wah, they have to concern themselves with two types of people. The first people are the enemies of Allah, the enemies of al-Islam. And the second people that the jihad is made against concerning the jihad of the da'wah is the people of al-bid'ah wal-ahwa, the people who are following innovation and the people who are following their desire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both of them have ordered us to make jihad against these people, to be mujahideen against the people who are enemies to Islam and the people who are the people of bid'ah and the people of desire. Yahamakullah. So how do we make jihad against them? Obviously we already explained about the enemies of Allah. We make jihad against the other people by our lisan, by explaining and by clarifying and by making the truth clear. And this is what Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, جَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادٍ كَبِيرًا. Allah ordered the believers to fight them with it, to make the jihad, and He said with it, and He didn't specify, make jihad against them with it, the big major jihad. The Shaykh went on to say that what Allah was ordering the Prophet to fight the people with alayhi salatu wasalam was to fight them with the Quran, to fight those kuffar and to fight the munafiqeen. Fight them at that time when the ayah was revealed, when there was no fighting. Fight them with it by giving them da'wah, by explaining to them the truth. He went on to say that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He has ordered us to make jihad against those kuffar with our tongues by explaining. And we see that there was a companion by the name of Hassan ibn Thabit.
This man was one of the poets of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was well known for his poetry. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam improving this point of saying against the kuffar by making them explaining to them the Islam, the truth. He used to tell Hassan to use his ability in making and formulating these lines of poetry to use it against those people. And he told Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to Abu Bakr, oh Abu Bakr, learn about the lineage of these people. Learn about the lineage of these Arabs so that we can know about their papers, so that we can know what they're about. We can use that in order to explain to them who they really are. So one day, Hassan ibn Thabit, he said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily I am going to help you in the religion in making poetry against these people and making them incapable of speaking. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, upon hearing that from Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, O Allah, help him, assist him, and give him victory. And he said, oh Allah, give him victory and assist him with the Holy Spirit, meaning Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam. The Prophet told us in another authentic hadith to show you that the jihad against these people is with our tongues as well. He said,